Well, very, very good morning to you. It's lovely to see so many lovely faces here. Thank you. Each and every face has a story, some good friends, and we've also got David Culhane. To the end, Dave, to the end, yes. So bless you. Wonderful worship. Thank you very much for that. Brilliant, brilliant. Lovely, lovely. Okay, well, over 40 years association with TFM in various capacities. And I don't look a day older, do I? But the thing that burns within me is the passion for Christ, the same passion that burned within me 40 years ago. And I give thanks to that. And when I was thinking, reflecting on what I would share with you, I chose one of these Bible verses that the thing that's kept me more or less on track, so to speak. Keep the fires burning. Keep the passion for Christ. Keep the passion to share Jesus Christ firing inside, which is still going to this day. So I'm going to share those verses in a minute, John 15, familiar to us over the years. But it's very interesting, isn't it? So often we are valued so much by what we do, or we think that is the case, rather than who we are. This afternoon I'll be talking about some of the things I've learned over the years, but this is one of the main things. It's who we are and what springs out of that to what we do, not the other way around. We're not valued for what we do, but it's who we are is the most important thing. And over the years, I suppose, coming to faith from a non-Christian background, one of the main things that I think being a Christian for us in the long haul is to become more like Jesus. That's one of the greatest aims, isn't it? Hello, John. I can see you there. One of the greatest aims to become more like Jesus, and also to have that security to know that he lives in us and we live with him in that relationship which lasts through this life, through the next, into eternal life when we will see Christ face to face. They're the things that what Christ wants us to be and who we are. How do we develop that? Well, it reminds me of the story as we're in Essex. Do you remember the guy at Christmas who was robbing some big houses in Chingford and all around there, you know, where the rich people live, and Tim and others and Paul? And we were robbing it, and you know, it was pitch black near Christmas, and he was putting all the stuff into the bag, and suddenly hears a voice. It says, Jesus is watching you. So he carried on, got round to the door, and again he heard, Jesus is watching you. So he put on the light, and he looked round. There's a parrot on a pole. And he goes over to the parrot. He said, you're not telling me all this mumbo-jumbo about religion and faith. He said, I'm going to get rich this Christmas. And then the parrot said to him, Jesus is right behind you. And he turned round. There's a 3-foot Rottweiler baring his teeth. Nice to know Jesus is with you, isn't it? Looking after you. The old ones are the best ones, I know. If you got your Bibles, just looking at John chapter 15, the vine and the branch is very familiar to all of us, I dare say, but these are one of the things over the 40 years that just going to reflect on briefly this morning. Beginning to read at verse 1, the vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Well, there's a huge amount in there, isn't there? But again, there's that sense of the Father being the gardener, Jesus being the vine, us grafted into the vine, something that I'll add just a little bit, that I believe the sap that keeps the whole thing alive is the Holy Spirit. And in a sense, that's key, isn't it? Key to keeping us going. We try and do things without God sometimes, and we put in the consequences, don't we? But in the end of the day, you think to yourself, well, the power of the Holy Spirit is the thing that keeps us on track. You look at the scriptures, and Jesus often withdrew from the crowds. Some people thought he was tired or he'd had enough or whatever. No, he withdrew so he'd have time alone with his Father. And if it was good enough for Jesus, it should be good enough for us. So time with God is, I know I'm preaching to the converted, but so often we can go off track, can't we? Time with God is so important, keeps us going. And relationships, how do relationships break down? Well, we deal with relationships in the world, don't we? Other people's relationships, our own relationships. Relationships break down because the lack of time spent one with another. It's quite simple. If we ignore God for any period of time, it's us that drifted away rather than God. So there are warnings there. And I remember Michael Brearley in the Church of England, still going, isn't he? But produces all these stats. But one of the most alarming ones was quite a few years ago. Well, not quite so many years ago. But actually, he basically said, without going into too much detail, that actually only a third of the people going to church actually read their Bibles and prayed outside a meeting or church. I don't know what the latest, but that is concerning, isn't it? If we see that as fundamental to our lives, then it's a challenge, isn't it? And as we go on in our world, we find people further and further away from any Christian understanding. So that's it. And Billy Graham, I remember, one of my heroes, obviously, Billy Graham, many of yours as well. But Billy Graham was interviewed once on TV, and American TV, and they said, well, Billy, what was the greatest times in your life? Was it flying all over the world, you know, different countries? And he says, no. Was it meeting the leaders of all the different countries? No. Was it standing up in stadiums and seeing all the people come forward? He said, no. And the interviewer got frustrated. Well, what are some of the greatest times? He said, the times I spent alone with God, seeking his way and will, and that communion with him. And, you know, in a sense, they tried to dig the dirt on Billy Graham and all the rest, but there wasn't any, was there? You know, the great man of God. And that. So when we look at that, we come to these verses. And I want you just to notice the order in which things come. I am the vine, you are the branches. But where does he start? Verse 2 starts with pruning, doesn't he? Never popular. I know nothing about gardening. Jill knows a lot more than me do. I just like watching the flowers. But basically, the vine, if you've been to Israel, it's a rambling plant. It goes everywhere, doesn't it? The only thing I can move it akin to is maybe ivy. You know, just rampant, goes everywhere. Unless it's pruned, you know, it doesn't grow properly, or it just grows where it will. And in a sense, when God's looking at our lives, Jesus says, doesn't he, we need to prune some of the things out of our lives that are no good or not right. And that's a challenge for us, isn't it? You see, so often, there are maybe some things in our lives, if we know that we're in a wrong relationship, if we know that we're doing something obviously that's wrong, if we know that actually that's not right, but we can persist in doing it. It's amazing how we can make excuses for things that, you know, we want to do or that whatever. But does God want those things to happen? And that's a big challenge. So if you're sitting there thinking, well, I really need to do something about that, well, maybe now's the time. It won't go away. Spiritually, you will not grow beyond that point. You keep hitting the same thing time and time and time again. I've seen it in many people's lives, seen it in our own lives, until that's removed. It can be like a stone in a shoe. We can get used to it, you know. So there's a warning. Jesus said, prune things, you know. everything. If you've got toothache, you can do what you like. Until you get the decay out, then you're not going to get it fixed, are you? And it's the same with things that maybe God challenges us in our lives. So there's the first thing, pruning. But it's twofold, isn't it? Sometimes we need to seek God. We'll never be perfect. But actually, if we're doing something that God doesn't want us to do, we're not only putting energy into that thing, but we're not doing maybe something else that God does want us to do. A double whammy. So it's a very good at examining ourselves, and this verse does that, doesn't it? But Jesus starts there, doesn't he? He doesn't finish there. He said, prune. Get rid of stuff that God doesn't want in our lives. And that's a challenge for us along the way. You know, things will come, they sneak in or whatever. We've got to cut them out. So there's a challenge for us. And secondly, Jesus said, well, you're already clean. I don't think he referred to them having a shower or bath or anything like that. But it's a sense in which they are already clean, the disciples. They believe and trust in Jesus Christ. And anyone who gives their lives to Christ, turns away from what is wrong, believes in Jesus and receives him, has that living relationship. But there is a sense as we grow as Christians, are we living in the past? So often we can. It's what God did 10, 20 years ago. But really the challenge is in living out that relationship is what is God doing this week, today, tomorrow? And there's a challenge. Not that we've got to be doing things, but actually our faith needs to be alive, doesn't it? In whatever we're doing now, today, 2019. Even when you're as old as Dave. But in a sense, that's the key thing, isn't it? So Jesus starts there, and then he moves on to remain in me, and I will remain in you. Very interesting, that, isn't it? Or for those of you watching the cup final a couple of weeks ago, you know, the old song, abide with me, live with me, be in me, God's Holy Spirit living in us. That's who he wants us to be. And there is a sense in which the scripture says, remain in me. There is a sense, I suppose, in which we can wander off. We can move away from Christ. Happens most of the time. Most of the time, the people you meet are Christians with problems. They've moved away from God through not reading the Bible or not praying or something else. We move away. The words come out, but the relationship's not there. The pattern's not there. The coal and the fire's moved out. They say, I love you, Lord, but there's no feeling there. And that's so often when we've moved away. So remaining in Christ is the thing that keeps us going. Many of you that can preach better than I can on that, you know that's what keeps you going. That's what gets you up in the morning. And in a sense, the power of the Holy Spirit, when he comes upon us and we're relying on his Spirit to help us and lead us, it's that, he, that will keep us going. Same with the vine and the branches and the sap running through it. It's the sap that keeps it alive. Otherwise, it dies, doesn't it? And so Jesus says all these things. And then he gets on to the part. And he says, if you remain in me and I remain in you, ask whatever you wish. These are often quoted verses, these, aren't they? But people move on to the ask whatever you wish without going through the previous three stages. And it's very interesting. You know, a lot of non-Christians heard that verse and they always ask you, don't they? Well, can you tell me what the lottery numbers are for this tonight, you know, or things like that. Or people think, well, yeah, if I can ask whatever I wish, that's fine. But if we haven't removed the stones, if we're not in a living relationship with Christ, if we're not remaining in him, then we don't earn the right in terms of being able to actually ask whatever we wish. I often thought about that, but look at it this way. I've said this before in many cases, that actually when we're close to Christ, we'll never be perfect, let's say, but our will becomes his will. And so the things that we're seeking in Christ are his will, close on. Never perfect, because we're not perfect and God is. But I often use this, you know, there are dam busters, you know, everyone knows about dam busters, don't you? The plane that came over during the war, 1944 or whatever it was, to bomb Dresden, the bouncing bomb. and that the pilots they couldn't get near the dam because of the German guns. So the Boffins designed a plane with a headlight and a taillight that was to come down across the water. And at a certain height, when the taillight and the headlight were together on the water and a certain distance, they dropped the bomb, one, two, bang, hit the dam, flooded Dresden, the industrial capital of Germany, a Nazi war machine, and that shortened the war. So strategic. And I often thought about that. And it's a bit like us and God, isn't it? Our light and his light. You know, when you think of the plane, our aim, if we want to do whatever, ask whatever we wish, our light and his light need to be together. You know, if the plane goes too high, they dissipate. If the plane goes too low, they're not on the spot. But when they're together, in those times when our will becomes God's will becomes our will, we can seek his will, and we're in that vein. It never lasts too long because of our humanity and sinfulness and all the rest of it, our distractions. But actually, if we can adjust that more and keep on in his will, remaining in Christ, then the things that we're asking for generally will be in line with what God wants. And that's where he wants us to be, isn't it? Whatever form of ministry you're in, whatever is evangelism or whatever. You know, a lot of people say, well, it's just coincidence that you happen to be there or here or there. Well, it's not coincidence. It's because you're seeking God and God's Spirit shines in your heart, and that things happen, don't they? And so there's some of the things that I've learned over the years, just to try and keep that. None of us ever do it consistently. You know, only the Lord did it consistently, so he was perfect. And looking at this lot, we're far from perfect. But in a sense, it's a matter of actually remaining in Christ, that his Spirit will shine in us and our Spirit shine in, and the two come together, that we seek God's will. But at the end of the day, whatever we do, who we are is so important. And if we're in Christ, which we all are, we need to practice that so that we're maybe most of the time doing the right thing for the right reasons and the right way. And so there's that wonderful picture of that. And then it comes down to the end, the last two verses. And it says, then people will know that you are my disciples. Then you will bear fruit. And it's a natural sequence all the way through these verses. I mean, there's the next 10 verses, which we haven't got time to go on to, but they all repeat the same sort of things. So look at that, John 15. You know, and when you look back over the years, you think, well, basically we said it before. Jesus wants us to walk the walk and talk the talk. TFM has been specialised. There's so many that we talk about evangelism. There's so much training in evangelism. But over the years, there's been few that actually gone out and done it. Bless the Lord for TFM. But in a way, the fruit will come of who we are and our relationship with Christ, with God. Seeking his will, allowing his Spirit to work with us. And I said, I just want to say something. Over the years, many of you know this, but actually, one of the things that Daniel and Peter first did with TFM, and which I think is so important, was the rule of life and holiness. It's still with us today, I know. But actually, I remember years and years ago interviewing loads of people who wanted to come on missions. And the interview procedure was really good. But it was like a checklist on all the things I've just said. And it wasn't an exam or anything, but you often picked up where people needed to go and sort some stones out in the shoes or whatever. So you went and said, well, you need to go and sort that out and then come back. And in a sense, that's quite true. But the rule of life and holiness proves, I think, what I've just said. It's who we are in Christ before what we do. And I know a lot of you are nodding and thinking, but there's one of the things that's kept me on track, and maybe some of the stuff that keeps you on track with God. So let's just pray for a moment. Let's just reflect. Let's just think as maybe God might be talking to us this morning. Is there one of those ouch moments this morning where God has maybe prodded us about something in our lives that needs to be sorted out before God. Something we're doing maybe that he doesn't want us to do. Just pray that you may be resolved to sort that out. Pray too about our relationship with God. Not our relationship in the past, but how's our relationship today? Is the Lord still central? Is the Holy Spirit working through us to achieve what he wants us to achieve? And are we remaining in him, allowing him to have his way in our lives? Are we reading his word? Are we praying? Are we seeking his way in the power of the Holy Spirit? And finally, are we walking the walk and talking the talk? I just pray, Holy Spirit, our Lord Jesus Christ, that you would come and just be with us and others who seek to be proclaimers of your good news. Just help us to know that it's who we are in you first that counts, and then out of that relationship, what we do for you, with you, to honor you. So bless these words, bless our time together, in Jesus' name. Amen.